From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
There are certain stories that get messier the more we try to clean them up. The Jeffrey Epstein case, that is the gold standard. The man is dead. The victims are silenced. The government insists there's no list. And yet the questions won't go away, not because we're obsessed with scandal, but because the official story has more holes than a fishing net. Today, we are diving into the deep end with someone who understands how the truth gets managed from the inside. Robin Dreeke is the former chief of the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. He's not a conspiracy guy. He's not a political operative. He's a system guy. He knows how it works, where the information flows, and how it can conveniently stop flowing when the wrong names are involved. What makes this conversation different is that we're not just speculating about who was on Epstein's island. We're asking why no one ever seemed interested in creating a record of it. Why there's never been a formal list, not because it was destroyed, because maybe it was never written down? Not by accident, but by design. We dig into how the case files are built inside the FBI, how evidence is structured or scattered, depending on the intent behind the investigation. And we challenge the notion that leaks always happen, because if there really was a leak that could burn politicians, celebrities, and global partners, would we have seen it by now? Maybe there's enough reason on both sides not to. And maybe the most damning idea that the case isn't a cover-up of one list, but a systematic refusal to even compile one in the first place. This isn't about wild theories. It's about patterns, about behavior, and about the psychology of omission. So let's start with the basics, because if there's no list, then why are 150 names suddenly floating around in court records? Robin, when this supposed Epstein list started making headlines, what did you notice right away that most people missed?
So for everyone paying attention, when Tony sent me this, that we're covering the Epstein, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going in the dark, dark realm of the world.
Yeah.
And the reason why my initial reaction was that, Tony, is because this is really, really challenging for people on both sides. And I mean both sides, because Epstein's an individual that, because of this alleged list, could take down people on either side of your political aisle.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you get a ton of confirmation bias. You get a ton of thoughts of conspiracy theories. There's a lot of noise we have to muddle through on this one. So my initial take on this was, because actually my son, he contacted me right after this list came out too, knowledge that there's no list, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, can you believe there's no list? And I'm like, okay. And he's a pilot. And he says to me, well, there should at least be a manifest. I said, really? I said, do you have a manifest? I mean, when you fly private jets, there's no manifest. No one keeps a log of who is actually on a jet. I'm a general aviation pilot. No one, that's just not done.
Okay.
There's no requirement for it. So Tony, what I initially did after I got through looking and thinking about this on multiple angles, I said, so let's go back to the origins. Who first came up and said there was a list? because that's the first thing you have to do. If we're going to have a controversy over a list, who first proposed a list?
Yeah.
No one did. So here's what my deep search shows.
What did you find?
The official mention of a list of names associated with Epstein likely came from a federal judge's order on December 18, 2023, when Judge Loretta Preska ordered an unsealing of court documents naming over 150 individuals connected to Epstein. So that was what came out of court. What happens next is we've seen this in the media a lot. The media then places a label on things saying, 150 individuals connected to Epstein, that's a list. There was never a list. And so are there 150 individuals connected with Epstein? Yes. And so at least from my research, what I'm showing is that people then started claiming there must be a list. Because remember, those claims came from one political side against another. Mm-hmm. And so because people are trying to weaponize 150 individuals connected with Epstein. And so when you're trying to do that, people are going to use verbology to support their narrative that they're trying to have their confirmation bias around. So again, it's pure theory and speculation because I'm going to cascade this with a few other things here as well. The next thing I ask myself is, all right, so let's look at data points. Tony, you and I love data points because past patterns of key behaviors are always indicator of future ones.
Yeah.
What has been another really recent case where we would assume there would be or wished there was a list of a lot of A-listers that showed up to freak-offs?
The diddler.
And never was there a list. There were people, but there's never... So in other words, why... So let's ask that question. So let's put ourselves in as horrendous as it is, but we do this from time to time. Let's put us in the shoes of Epstein or even Diddy. To what benefit would they have or keep a list of people showing up to their place? It's incriminating, both for them and the people coming up. It's, in other words, it's a thought process. The only place where people generally keep lists is where they want to maintain a memory. And again, if people generally don't do things proactively to blackmail, it's usually an afterthought. Because I remember, so blackmail's come up in this thing too. It'll be a blackmail list. But when you're hosting parties, when you're hosting get-togethers, you're inviting friends, colleagues, people you think of like mind, in the forefront of your mind is not that I'm going to keep a list to blackmail. If your mind isn't saying I'm going to keep a list so I can blackmail people, so I can keep a lever of influence over them, which people generally don't do. Again, law of probability says people don't do that. For whatever reason, would someone create an actual list? Now, are there people associated that have traveled in and out? Yes. And the other part of this, I will say, and I apologize for everyone who thinks their political figures are infallible. No one anywhere is infallible. Everyone does stupid shit. So I think if there actually was a list and people did go there, as we saw, people are named on this thing as possibly being Bill Clinton, possibly being Trump, possibly being those other people going on these things there. Okay. So we've just learned nothing because we all know this. Mm-hmm. So that's my thought process on actually being a list that people are expecting to see. So I'm congruent with, I don't think there's a list. Because here's another thing I thought of. So if there actually was a list before and there's political opponents on it, why wouldn't someone have used it already? I don't care how sealed something is. There are more leaks in government and sieves than we've seen ever.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides.
Sure.
If either side could use it as a narrative to take down a political opponent, which has happened, why wouldn't it have? Mm-hmm. All right. So that kind of debunks that to me. And the final thing is, there's two more. Another thing is, there are people like me inside the FBI that I can honestly tell you to this day, there's friends of mine that have been recently told and shown the door at the FBI as of a couple of weeks ago because of who they knew inside the bureau. To this day, until that moment, I had no idea what their political ideology was. I mean, I was so non-political. It was just mission, 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 mission. And most of the people are. And when people are like that, and people like people I know that have been booted out that have no skin in the game anymore, like no retirement like skin in the game, if they knew something and they were at high levels, there'd be other leakage that came out from other people that hasn't happened. And I had one more point in there too. I've rambled enough.
You had a lot of points, but I want to go through some of that. Okay,
yeah,
let
absolutely.
Me start here.
If take
there,
it apart.
If there is no list, then what are the 150 names that were unsealed in the 2015 Guffrey versus Maxwell court documents? I mean, 150 names? I mean, seems like that's a list.
I think this, so my guess is that when you have different, all right, so when you're doing an investigation inside the FBI, you conduct multiple interviews, and on these interviews, you create, and it's been in the news multiple times before, a document called the 302, an FD-302. Yep. And these 302s are interviews, results, and all these things. And all these interviews from multiple individuals across multiple jurisdictions get pumped into a digital file, a case file online that's in the closed system of the FBI. And unless there's a requirement by a prosecutor that comes, or an assistant U.S. attorney, or that comes to the investigator, says, create a list for me of all the individuals, there won't be a list created, because there's really no reason for a list, because each one of these individuals is going to be a separate interview. In other words, I mean, every investigation I've done that involved multiple interviews of multiple people, there hasn't been an instance where I actually was tasked with creating a list, like a consolidated mm-hmm. list of people associated with that, unless tasked for. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't have been tasked for, it might have been tasked for. Mm-hmm. And so let's assume, all right, so let's do, you know, this case scenario. So let's assume that the case agent was tasked with consolidating everyone ever associated with the Epstein Island onto a list. First of all, there'd have to be a reason for it, for prosecution reasons. Otherwise, you're conducting an investigation without a reason. And we don't do that, at mm-hmm. least if we're doing things legally. And so if they did create a list, it would be in a case file. And the case file is electronic. And there's going to be a host of individuals that have access to that case file, from the case agent themselves, to the assistant case agent, to the supervisor, to the assistant special agent in charge if they need to, the SAC, multiple individuals at headquarters, our legal team, both at the field office level, as well as FBI headquarters level, Department of Justice. So you have multiple levels of people that are going to have access to a digital case file. I would have thought that, again, talking about the leakage aspect of it, if it was there, there wouldn't just be, it would take a lot of people shutting up right now mm-hmm. to say it doesn't, see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to do, not impossible, but very, very hard to do.
It gets very convoluted very quick. And that's the downfall of most conspiracy theories, is there would require too many people to shut up.
Yeah, that's what I'm going on this one.
So after all that, let's sit with what we just heard. We keep hearing about the Epstein list like it's the file someone's hiding in a locked drawer, but maybe it's not missing. Maybe it was never created in the first place, not the way we think of it anyway. Not due to oversight, but by strategic choice, because when you don't make a list, you don't have to answer for what's on it. Robin Dreeke didn't come in here waving a red string conspiracy board. He laid out the internal workings of the system, how case files are structured, who sees what, and more importantly, who doesn't. What we're looking at might not be a glitch, it might be the function. Think about it. Epstein wasn't stupid. Neither were the people around him. If you're operating a private network of criminal exploitation involving powerful people, what's your biggest liability? Documentation. The very idea that he or anyone in his orbit would sit down and create a comprehensive guest list is kind of absurd. And yet we as a public keep begging for one like it's hidden under some secret floorboard in Langley. Here's a kicker. Even if someone had created a consolidated file, it would have required layers of authorization, compartmentalization, and exposure across multiple agencies, and still no one leaked it? In this age, when leaking is practically become its own industry? You're telling me that that kind of nuclear information has been sitting quiet all this time? Or maybe there's nothing to leak, because the people who could leak it never had it. Maybe not because it doesn't exist, but because someone even higher than that said, that's not going to them. What Robin lays bare is that the absence of evidence here might not be a cover-up. It might be a refusal to centralize anything that could be used against the wrong people. And that's not negligence. That's institutional self-preservation. So what do we do with that? We stop pretending we're waiting for the smoking gun, and we start examining why we were conditioned to think one would ever show up. This isn't about a list. It's about how silence is engineered and how, in cases like Epstein's, that silence isn't empty. It's filled with strategy, denial, and plausible deniability. So no, we're not done talking about this, because until someone at the top of that access chain decides to go with truth and that it matters more than comfort, we're going to keep asking the questions they don't want answered. Tell me what your thoughts are in the comments section. If you're watching us on YouTube, that's the place to do it. If you're listening to us on the podcast platforms, be sure to search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube so you can join in our conversation there. But do hit subscribe wherever you're listening or watching this right now so you don't forget. And you keep getting all of our reporting that we put out to you every single day. And we got a lot of it. So we do greatly appreciate that support by at the least hitting subscribe. Until next time, for all of us here at the Hidden Killers podcast, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want true crime coverage all day, every day? Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed.